Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side. A large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay hands on her, and they may be get well and live." He went off with him. A large crowd followed him and processed along with him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she had no help, but grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her blood flow dried up. She felt it in her body, and she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my cloak?" But the disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing in upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around and saw who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue's official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid and have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of the commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why is this commotion and this weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." They all ridiculed him and put them all out. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother, and those who were with him, entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to him, "Talitha konam," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The little girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were all utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know of this, and he said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
This Sunday, I want to consider with you one topic that's not very fun. And that's the topic of fear. A traditional dictionary definition of fear is this: fear is an unpleasant and often strong emotion caused in anticipation of danger. Makes sense, right? Okay. Now, there are many things that fear can be defined by and what it does to us, and it has a prudent reason, such as, for a student, if I don't study for that test, I fear I might fail the class. Or, if I don't slow down my driving in this rain, I fear I might have a wreck. Fear is oftentimes used in sacred scripture to show reverence for the Lord. Proverbs tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But for our conversation tonight, this homily, I want us to focus really on the dictionary definition. A strong emotion in response to anticipation of danger. Jairus, this synagogue official, was very afraid. His world was about to change. He came to Jesus with this imminent plea as a desperate father. His daughter was dying, and he knew it. Could Jesus please come and do something? Come lay your hands upon her. Come make her well. So Jesus gets up immediately and follows him. He was a righteous man, even though he was a Roman. But there's this momentary delay about this woman touching Jesus' cloak and being healed of this 12 years of hemorrhaging. But that's for a whole other homily altogether. At Jairus' house, he encounters this horrible scene of these people wailing and crying and recognizing the child is already dead. And there's nothing more they can do. So why bother the teacher? Let him go on, Jairus. It's all over with. And we can only imagine Jairus's demeanor at that point. Utter exhaustion and utter bewilderment. His face falls. He goes into the lamentation himself. But then this surprisingly moment of Jesus' response to Jairus. Do not be afraid. Just have faith. I loved St. Luke's translation of a parallel story when he uses the words for Jesus and he puts in Jesus' mouth, fear is useless. What is needed is trust. Fear is useless. What is needed is trust. What has to be accomplished is that fear really never does anything for us. How often have we been fearful of a situation for it to really amount to nothing? The point is this. When has fear ever led to anything positive happening? Again, I don't mean for fear to be a prudence of anything and not to give it irreverence, but fear is a response of anticipation of danger. So let's take this scenario. A man and a woman are dating and getting into a serious relationship, but he's afraid that if he goes further, he might get hurt. So the opportunity to grow is rejected, to grow in love is rejected. Man's afraid that he might be a good husband, might not be a good husband, might not be a good father, so he's afraid to enter into the relationship. The woman's afraid that whatever her childhood rings are, there might not be enough, and she might not be a good wife, a good spouse, a good mother. So the fear grips them, and they fail to encounter God's love, and therefore don't enter into a right relationship. An intelligent student could not take the next step in a difficult career because fear grips him or her and they fail to succeed in class. Or a great doctor, or a great nurse, a great lawyer, a great engineer, someone fears something ahead of them and fails to take the next step. So much is lost in life because fear grips us. But remember, the Lord says fear is useless. What is needed is faith. Fear destroys our capacity for faith. When we have faith, we know that no matter what comes of the outcome, the situation will be in the world will be infinitely different than it was before. If we had the eyes to see, there will be a better outcome than we could ever have imagined if we simply take that step forward. If we have faith, we know the situation does not maybe work out the way we thought it would, but we will still be a better person for having tried to go through the situation. Perhaps entering into marriage, or in my case, becoming a priest, or a man or a woman entering into religious life. Because they have faith in God, that the Lord is leading them into some new direction, they try it anyways. In the long run, the results may be radically different. As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass this morning, Archbishop Coakley bestowed the Sacrament of Holy Orders upon the man who will become your new parochial vicar, Father Brandon Lepak. And a little side note, when Father Lepak gets here, one of the first things all of you should do is line up in front of him and ask for his first priestly blessing, because that has grace attached to it. It has a plenary indulgence attached to it. You can have your baptismal dignity restored to order if you go to confession, if you receive communion, and you pray for the Holy Father's intentions, and the big one, if you are detached from all sin. That's the hard one. But don't fail to get Father's new blessing. It's only available for a short amount of time, so get in there and get it done. Right? Okay. But we have plenty of time to grow and to get to know the Lord, and you will get plenty of time to get to know Father Lepak. But the point really is that all of us have an opportunity to grow in life if we have faith more than fear. My own story, my own vocational story, is not much like anyone else's, but it's different. Some of you may remember that I came from a predominantly Protestant family. And in high school, I became an Episcopalian, then in college became Catholic, and the 26 months later was in the seminary. And 10 years later, was ordained to be a priest, and found myself at your doorsteps. And then you taught me how to be a priest. God willing, unworthy as I was, a sinful man as I was, God chose me, and all the fears that I had and all the anxiety I had throughout those entire 10 years, and now here I am 25 years later. St. John of the Cross wrote something that is very, very essential for all of us to hear. For every husband and wife, for every person, regardless of your state of life, something for every one of us to hear today. St. John of the Cross said this: I went without discerning to that for which my heart was yearning. Now, let me say it again, because it's a little, you have to tune your ear to it. I went without discerning to that for which my heart was yearning. We must have faith that God will guide us, and we will never be slaves to fear. Because nothing good ever flows from fear. Fear destroys faith. Faith is always there. Fear is an instrument of the devil tempting us to give up on God and all of the goodness that God has for us. Fear tells us to give up on the world and reject the living God. We can easily become prey to the one who wants us to go his way. The devil wants us to deny the power of God. He wants us to give up on the Lord. The devil wants to attack God, and he wants to attack us, particularly our trust in the Lord through that great gift of fear of his. St. Paul, in his second letter to St. Timothy, says this: God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit and power of love and self-control. Now, with every sin that the devil can throw at us, God already has a remedy. It's called a virtue. The virtue for the remedy of the fear is courage. Now, what's the first thing you think of when I say courage? This morning I thought of the Cowardly Lion, right? Courage, courage. The word courage actually comes from two Latin words. And it really makes sense when you know them. Cor, which is heart, and acta, which is action. So literally, an action, an act of the heart. Courage is the action of the heart that has faith and trusts in God. Look at the martyrs. Pick any martyr in history. I'll pick one for you. St. Lawrence, one of the early church deacons, one of my favorites. after he was arrested by the emperor for failing to give him the wealth of the church. Deacon Lawrence gave him the wealth. He brought him all the poor of Rome. That infuriated the emperor, so the emperor decided to barbecue Lawrence alive. After binding him up and throwing him on a gridiron and roasting him alive, after about an hour, Lawrence sat up and said, "I think I'm done on this side. Do you mind if I turn over?" That's courage. That's courage. That's an act of the heart, overcoming any fear. These last 18 months, there's been a lot of moments where the evil one has tried his best to make all of us fearful during this pandemic. And he's still trying his best. But we have to have faith in God. We must have courage in every moment of every day, of every breath we take, that God overcomes all fear. The great fear that we must confront is the fear of dying, as the first reading, and really even this gospel points out. We know that none of us are going to get out of life alive, but we somehow still fear death. The devil uses every type of fear he can to destroy our faith. He tells us the lie that if we die, life is lost. The devil is trying to get us to reject God's goodness, to reject heaven itself. He whispers in our ears that God is not really a good God. He wouldn't let us suffer. He wouldn't let us have pain and suffering. When the doctor comes and gives us that terminal diagnosis and gives us a time limit, that's fear. But the reality is that all of us have a time limit. Most of us, if you stop to think about it, have about 26,000 days upon the earth. The clock is ticking for every one of us. But if we keep our eyes focused on the Lord and on his kingdom, if we reject fear and trust in Jesus, if we have faith, then our journey to the Father's kingdom will be fearless and it'll be courageous. We just recently celebrated the great solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He constantly invites us to have a heart exchange with him, to exchange our hearts for his heart, because in his heart, it's full of compassion and love and mercy. Our hearts, well, they're full of all kinds of other things, a lot of times fear. When we have a heart exchange with the Lord, then there's no place for fear, only courage. Then the words from St. John's Gospel of the Lord Jesus tells us comes true. "I have told you this that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world."